Begin the current Daf, starts Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Ches, begin 9 lines down at the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a Braisa in reference to the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding their different interpretations in the previous Daf's discussion. Now, one thing the Gemara had asked once it introduced that Braisa was one of the halachas mentioned was gun of climb with Tevacha. If someone steals a hybrid animal, a mixed breed animal, and slaughters it, so then he's going to be liable for Tashlum and Barba Chamisha. So that the Gemara asks, but Rava had said, and there was a discussion in the Rishonim where the source of that halacha of Rava is, but Rava had said, Zeh Bana'av, this is a building block, which tells you wherever the Torah says the word seh, sheep, that it's actually coming to tell you that it has to be a pure breed. It has to be from both its parents, a lamb, but if let's say it's from one type and another type, then that's what's called climate, that's going to be excluded. See, here, by the Torah, when it talks about Dalad Vehei, he used the term Seh. So how can we say that Klaim is going to be included in the liability of Dalad Vehei when you go ahead and you slaughter or you sell it? Now, the Gemara said, you're right. Generally, that's what Seh does. But here it says Ay, where Ay is a superfluous word coming to include the halacha that Dalad Vehei applies even to Klaim. So that's where our Gemara continues and says, Elohadam Rabba. So then this that Rabba said, Zebona Av, that this is the primary building block. That kamokim shenema seh, that wherever it says the word seh, ena ela lohitzi es haklayim, so then it's coming to, why is it saying it? It's coming to say that it's excluding a mixed breed. Lamahelchasa. So where is, when Rava was saying that from that source, where he was learning that you see that seh was redundant, why did it say it two times over there, as Rashi Masechta Chulin says, to tell you that, oh, the word seh means to say it has to be only from this type of parents and not from mixed breed. So where else do you have that application? It's not by our halacha of Dalad Vehei where it says, as we said, because the word ay comes to include a klein. So where's Rabba's halacha for? So the Gemara says, Ila kadshim, if it's to say that klein, a mixed breed animal, is invalid to be used as a carbon, because it says the word seh by the nedavis, when a person donates an animal as a carbon, as it says, b'midbar tezvav, oylik seh b'kfasim, so there it used the term seh. On that, the Gemara says, "Behed yiksev b'hu shor echasev." But there, as we learned explicitly, the Torah tells us that if when you're donating, when you bring an animal as a carbon, it says an ox or a lamb. Now, from the extra word "oy" over there, it comes to tell you prat leklayim. It's coming to exclude the halacha of klayim that's going to be puzzled. So we don't need the term "set" to tell us because actually it's the word "oy" that comes to tell us that klayim is not included. Ila Meiser, if Rav is coming to tell us that the application would be for the halacha of Meiser Behemer, which is the halacha that every 10th animal that a person has from that year, he lets it go through, and that becomes the halacha of Meiser, that you have to go ahead and consume it in the way of Meiser. Now Rashi points out one thing, that although it actually doesn't say the word seh by Meiser Behemer, so how can you say that's where Rav's halacha applies? It only used the word sein. Still, the Gemara is entertaining to say that that's where Rav is going to say that a klayim, a mixed breed, would be pasul, because as the Gemara tells in Masechtas Becheiris, regarding many different halachas, we learn out the halacha of Maiser Behema, which has the word tachas hashevet, that we learn out from the halachas of kachim, which says tachas imay. And therefore, we would learn from this too, that just like by kachim, it says the word seh, so too we would consider it as if it says the word seh by Maiser Behema. And therefore, maybe that's what Rabbi's halacha was telling us, so it's as if it says seh by Maiser Behema, and therefore it would say that Maiser Behema cannot be klayim. That the Gemara says, no, tachas tachas, tielas mikachim. Actually, that same limud that Rashi just addressed, that would be the source as if it said, said by Mais Behema. We have the Xerish Shav, it says tachas by kachim, it says tachas by Mais Behema. If so, we already know from kachim itself, not just the word seh, kachim we just brought from the word ay excludes klaim, so too we would know already without the word seh that by Mais Behema would exclude klaim. So the Gemara still doesn't have a source where the application of Rabbi's halacha would be that this binyanav. Ila Bukhar, and if it's for the halacha of a firstborn animal, which has Kedushas Bukhar and is one of the Chavdal Matnas Kuhuna that's given to a kain, to say that wouldn't apply by a klein, by a mixed breed, and that the Gemara says, I don't need Rabbi's binyanav for that. Havar, havar, yalef memaiser. It says the word v'havar to kol peta rechem lashem, and use the word of passing through havar, and it says also v'choleshayaver tachas hashavid in regards to halacha ma'isa behema. So we have a gzeirish shabbat that tells us just like by ma'isa behema it excludes the halacha of klaim, so too by b'chayr it excludes the halacha of klaim, and therefore I wouldn't need seh to exclude that. Inami, or a different reason why we wouldn't need seh, Rabbi's halacha of binyav of seh to tell us that b'chayr wouldn't apply to a klaim, because nidma amrit lo, you already said that even a lesser type of a psul, which is what's called a nidma, which is a mutant. It's something that it appears to be like another animal. Tachsiv, it says in Pasuk Mamidbar, ach b'char shar. However, regarding the firstborn of the ox, so that's where it talks about halachas of b'char. So the drasha we make is, ach yehu shar u'b'char shar. To say that it has to be the firstborn of an ox, meaning that until the halacha b'char would only apply if the parent is an ox and the child is an ox, which excludes a nidma, which doesn't appear to be like an ox, appears to be something else. So if so, klai mibayi, would I entertain to say that klai would be kosher? If even nidma is possible, for sure klai, and again, therefore, these are two different reasons why I would already know klai is possible, even without the halacha of the term seh, which Rav is saying is a binyan av, wherever it says seh, it's coming to exclude klai. So the question is, what do I need Rav's binyan av? Where else? Besides the source, again, as Rashi Chulin said, that's from where it talks about the kosher animals to be eaten, where else do we find that there's going to be this application of Rabbah's halacha? So Elikitma, the Rabbah rather, says the Gemara, when did Rabbah say that this is a binyab that it would apply elsewhere? Where else is that elsewhere that we need the term seh to exclude klayim? Is le'in petach hamor. So regarding the firstborn of the donkey, where there it talks about that you should redeem that firstborn with a seh and give that to the kohen. So it's regarding this that Rav is telling us that the reason of the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to quote right now, Masechtas Bechairis, that says that you could not redeem the firstborn chamar with a klayim is learned out from over here, because it says the term seh, and seh again, Rav says that you find elsewhere, which is going to be binyan av, to say wherever it says the term seh, which is here in Petach Hamar, that if you want to redeem to the kohen, to give him the seh instead of the firstborn donkey, it has to be a pure breed, not a mixed breed. Kidnan, like we're learning the Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis. It says, ain paiden, you can't redeem the firstborn donkey, lebe eagle, not with a calf, lebe chaya, not with a wild animal, let's say a deer or a hart, not with a slaughtered animal. Again, all these are because they're not considered seh. And a slaughtered animal is not a seh, it's a piece of meat. Seh has to be a living animal. Neither one that has a mortal defect. Not with that which comes from two different types of animals. So you see, it's excluding klayim. That's where he's addressing. How do you know that halacha from? That's from Rav's binyan av, because it says the word seh, by pidyon, by petach hamar, which tells us that it has to be only seh and not klayim. And v'lebekai, neither can you use an animal that was from a behema and a chaya, where it's born from that union of a wild animal and a domesticated animal. Neither one of these are included on the definition of seh, and therefore they're not going to be viable options for the pidyon of petach hamar. So that's again what Rav's halacha then was coming to teach us. But as the Gemara, Ul Rabbi Elazar, the Mata Beklayim, but according to Rabbi Elazar, it actually says that you are allowed to redeem the Petach Hamer, the firstborn child from a donkey, with a klayim, with a mixed breed animal. It's not like we learned over there in that Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Elazar, Mata Beklayim, Neshu Seh, he says, actually, no, that it is Seh. So, Lamai Hilchasa. Then, but what halacha is Rabbi's halacha teaching us that when it says Seh, it's a binyan av, it can't be klayim? Well, it can't be regarding Petach Hamer, meaning according to Rabbi Elazar, because he says, actually, klayim is kasha by Petach Hamer. So then, for what halacha ramification is Rav's ben Yav teaching us? So Amalcha Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar would tell you, Kiyat Medu Rabbi, when did Rabbi say this halacha? It's Letamei Shenoylu Min Hatar. It's regarding a non-kosher animal that's born from a kosher animal. So let's say you have a cow that's born from a horse. V'iburai, actually that Letamei Shenoylu Min Hatar, a non-kosher animal that's born from the kosher. So it's a cow that gives birth to a horse. V'iburai Min Hatamei. And the cow, which is the kosher mother, was impregnated by a non-kosher animal, which was a horse. Or let's say a similar case would be if, let's say, a ewe would give birth to a chazir, and the father was a chazir. So again, the father and the child are non-kosher, but the mother was a kosher animal. It's regarding that that the child's going to be forbidden to eat. Because it says in the pasuk, Zaysa behem asher teichlu, these are the animals that you should eat. Shur se kesavim. Now, since it says over there the word seh, it's coming to exclude a similar type of what we're going to be calling klayim. And as the Gemara tells us, it's not like Rabbi Yeshua who was brought in the first parak of Masechta Bechairis, that was Zayin and Aleph. Because the Rabbi Yeshua, because it would be going like Rabbi Yeshua, miseh kisavim beseh izim nafkale. He learns it out from a different component, not because it said the word seh, which again, that's Rabbi Salacha teaching seh means pure breed, not a klayim, not a mixed breed, which we're going to shortly explain what does that mean. He actually learns out from the plurality of kisavim and izim, which is achi aviv keves ve'imai kavsa. It only could be if it comes from both the plurality of both the father and the mother have to be lambs, has to be sheep, and then the child is going to be kosher. But if it's from one type and another type, meaning if the mother is a kosher animal and the father is a non-kosher animal, then the child is not going to be kosher. It has to be both from the same type. That's what he learns, is that's a klayim that's going to be excluded because it says the word seh. And again, that obviously, which the way Rabbi Elazar would have to say Rabbi's halacha, is not like Rabbi Shua, who learns that out from a different source, from the word ksavim and izim. Now, but first the Gemara asked to explain this halacha. Could a kosher animal, meaning the cow, be impregnated from the horse, from the non-kosher animal, that's the halacha that we have to exclude and say that the child that's born from that union is going to be considered a klayim and not going to be a kosher animal? But the question is, we learned in the first paragraph of Maseches Bechorot of Zayin and Aleph that you cannot, they cannot conceive that way. Not a non-kosher animal from a kosher animal, not a kosher animal from a non-kosher animal. So what is this halacha that we're saying, that it says the word seh, so we're telling you, oh, that's going to be the halacha of a kosher animal, which is from both from the same type, but from different ones, which we're calling klayim, because one's kosher, one's non-kosher, then the child's not going to be kosher. But the question is, there's no conceivable way of that even happening, because they can't even conceive together. So the Gemara says, in yes, the kaimalon, because we know the halacha is, as we continue to talk about Beis, the i'aber mikolot. We're talking about where the kosher animal was conceived from the male was a kolot. A kolot is where its hooves are uncloven, meaning to say that it doesn't have that space between the hooves, and that impregnates the kosher animal. Now that's going to Reb Shimon like Reb Shimon. That is because Reb Shimon calls, yes, of course, the Gemara is saying, as we learned in Masechta Bechorot, you cannot have a kosher animal, non-kosher animal, conceive a child together. So what are we talking about? When we're calling this, quote, non-kosher animal, who's impregnating the kosher animal and having a non-kosher child, it's going like Reb Shimon, who calls a kolot, which means it's a regular kosher animal, just its hooves are uncloven, he calls that a tummy, a non-kosher animal. As we learned in Brisa Masechta Bechorot, Reb Shimon says in the Torah, gamal, a camel, two times, that you can't, that's not a kosher animal. Now, so what are these two times that it mentions? It says, so one is the classic camel, I mean a camel that's born from a gemala, from its mother that's a camel. But then there's another, quote, camel that's born from a cow. And even if it became impregnated from a kosher animal, meaning from a shur and a parrot, two cows, go ahead and mate and have a child. Reb Shimon says that the child that's coming from these two kosher parents, if it's a regular cow, but its hooves are uncloven, which are these two simani tyra of a kosher animal, which is that it chews its cud and its hooves are cloven. There's the space between them. The child happens to not have that. Reb Shimon calls that child a tummy. Now, this is a contradistinction to Reb Yeshua, who we quote on Omer Aleph, who he said that this answer for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi's halacha, is going like this concept of where it's you have a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal having a child. That is going like Reb Shimon, but not like Rabbi Yeshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua says that where it was impregnated from a kosher animal, meaning from a shur that was not kolot, meaning to say, if let's say both parents are kosher animals, then the child, he says, would be permitted if it only has even one out of the two simani tyra. So let's say either that it chews its cud, or if it has mafresas parsa, has the space between the hooves, he says the child is going to be kosher. He doesn't call it like Reb Shimon as a tummy. Now the reason why is he expounds the pasuk where it says zeh lo toichlu es agamal, means to say that this one you cannot eat because it only has one simon, meaning a gamal only has one of the two. But there are others that, meaning, and that's what it says, azen l'taychlu, I mean this one, because there are other animals that you could eat even though it only has one simen. Which one is that? That's the, quote, tameh that's born from a tahar, which was impregnated from a tahar. Now, Rabbi Shu continues and says, then that you would think the same thing would apply even if the kosher animal was impregnated by a non-kosher animal. In other words, that you would think that just like I say that it's kosher, this child that has one of the simonim, so too I would make kosher the child of that child if it impregnates a cow from it. That's what he says, which recorded this halacha on the Med Aleph, that he says, no, tamalim is said kesavim v'se'izim until it's born from two kesavim, which means that its father and his mother has to be fully fledged kosher animals. But the child, that's a kolot, that although it's a kosher animal, but Rabbi Shu considers it a kosher animal, but that one's children would not be, because both of the parents have to be kosher if the child has only one siman on them, then it's going to be kosher. But if the one siman one, which is kosher, has a child from a kosher animal, the child actually is not going to be kosher. Now, so therefore, that's what the Gemara is explaining, that this psul of the child, which Rabbi Shua learns from kvasim, which is, again, because both parents have to be fully fledged kosher animals, so although the child, again, from such a union, if both parents are kosher, would itself be kosher, but its child would not be? That's what the Gemara is explaining for Rabbi Lazar, that Rabbi's halacha is teaching that from the word seh. So again, that's the concept of which we're calling this klayim. What makes a klayim? Because it's from a tamei animal and tar animal. We said, what do you mean tamei and tar? They can't have a child together. So say, no, we don't mean really tamei. We mean Rib Shimon's tamei. Rib Shimon says that a regular two kosher animals that have a child that is kalut, that child is called a tamei. He considers it not kosher because only has one of the two simanim, which again Yeshua says that child is kosher. Now that tamei, which then mates with a tahar, which everyone agrees that child is going to be not kosher, Rabbi Shua learns that from kvasim and izim. On that halacha, Rabbi Shimon learns it out not from there. Shimon learns it out because since it's a tamei, he learns it out from the halacha of seh. That's where Rabbi Lazar would have to say for Rabbi's halacha, like Rabbi Shimon, where it says seh, it can't be klayim, it has to be pure breed, it can't be a hybrid. And this is from a non-kosher animal and kosher animal. Again, not purely non-kosher animal, it is a kosher animal, but it's non-kosher because only one simanim. That's the halacha which according to Rabbi Lazar, you're going to have to say Rabbi's halacha of seh, of a binyan av, is coming to teach us lohitzis a klayim, which is in this type of kosher species, but non-kosher animal that has a child from a kosher animal, that child is not going to be kosher. Now the Gemara goes back to what was being discussed on the previous daf in the Ayin Dalam Abayz regarding someone who steals kachim, that there's an achrayis for that type of an animal. For example, he says harei olai. So the Gemara goes back to discuss this topic. Bayi Rava. Rava had the following question. Let's say an individual said harei olai oila. It's incumbent upon me to bring a carbon oila, which that is a neder that you have a responsibility if something happens to whatever you end up separating, the responsibility is yours to then reimburse Hekdesh. And the Hifrishar, and he separated an ox to be, okay, that's going to be my carbon oila. Uvo'ach av ganav, then somebody else comes and steals that shar. So the question is, mi potr ganav nafshe, could the thief exempt himself in regards to the owner? Meaning to say, because as we explain, and as Rashi says, that the Gemara here is going according to Rabbi Shimon, that says that when you steal kachim shechayiv b'achriyusin, that the owner has a responsibility and liability to reimburse Hekdesh, the ganav is chayiv when he steals from him. Because that's considered a gunav beseish, because it's a dava germ lamamet for him, so it's kamam a dummy. So the question is, so the ganav is liable regarding the owner that he steals from. But could he exempt himself by reimbursing the guy who stole from bekevis l'rabanan with just a lamb, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they say that this guy who said, I'm accepting upon myself a carbon oila. So the Ganav could tell him, well, I'm giving you back a carbon oila. I'm not making you lose anything because you had made a neder to Hekdesh. And you're going to be fulfilling your neder, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote, according to Rabbanan, when you take responsibility for an oila, you can bring a lamb. But oila sa'if, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or can you even fulfill your obligation by reimbursing the guy you stole from with just bringing a bird oila, which is much cheaper than that? So the question essentially is, this guy who took upon himself responsibility to bring a grubman oila, so he set aside a large animal, an expensive animal, a shar. Now this guy stole the shar. Now when he wants to reimburse him for the grubman oila they had to bring, could he bring even just a lamb or even an oila sa'if? It's not like within the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. If someone says, I accept upon myself to bring a carbon oila, the Rabbanan say, Yavi Kavis, you could fulfill your obligation by bringing a lamb. Elizabeth Azariah, he says, actually, Yavi Tar Ben Yon, you could even bring a turtle dove or a young dove. You could even fulfill your obligation when you accept, quote, an oila, even with a bird carbon. So the question is, my, what's halacha? Mi aminan shem oila kibul olave, do we say that ultimately he accepted upon himself responsibility for a carbon oila? And therefore, I'm returning to you a carbon oila, although it's not the one that you separated. Maybe no, maybe the owner, the one who had separated the carbon, could tell the ganav, I want to do the most refined and the most ideal type of carbon, which is the more expensive. And you're only giving me back, and the carbon I'm going to be fulfilling is just a lamb, or maybe even a bird. So the Gemara tells Basidi Bayahada Pashta. After that, Rav had asked the question, he resolved it. He says, Ganav Pater Atzma, the Ganav could exempt himself, Bekevis L'Rabbanan by L'Sa'if L'Rabban Azariah. He could fulfill his obligation according to either opinion with either a lamb or with the bird. And the reason being is because he has paid up to the owner what the owner had his responsibility. And he has fulfilled his neder. And therefore, the only loss essentially is for Hekdish, and regarding that, the ganav is exempt, because as we taught previously, v'gunav mibeisa ish and v'lo mibeisa hekdesh, the liability does not apply to hekdesh, only applies to the guy you stole from. And again, as we explained, this is going according to Reb Shimon, and more with this machlekes Rabban Rabbi Elazar, and their reasoning is explained in the last parak of Masechtas Menachos. Now the Gemara concludes, Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ika Masan l'behedi. He actually learned this not the way we had quoted the version before, that Rav had asked a question with an answer, but rather it was explicitly mentioned like this, that Amar Rav, he said it straightforward as halacha. If someone says I'm accepting upon myself an oila and he separates an ox, and someone else comes and steals it, so the ganav could exempt himself according to Rabbanon with a lamb and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah even with a bird carbon oila. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing the theme of the previous mission, Ayis, regarding the halacha of dal de fehe, and specifically those places where you're exempt from the liability, albeit when you're slaughtering or selling, that you're not going to be liable for the sheep or for the ox for the penalty of 4 or 5 times the amount. So the Mishnah says, Mecharai chutz mi echad mi meya shabayif. Let's say someone stole a sheep or an ox, and then he sold it except for 1/100th of it. That is, he's still holding on to 1/100th of it. Or, if actually before he stole it, he was actually a partner in this. Then he stole from his partner. So again, in both of these cases, you're not going to be able to qualify what's called umacharai, which is that you sold it totally be'isr, because in the first case, you didn't totally sell be'isr because you didn't sell all of it. In the second case, you didn't sell all of it be'isr because even though you sold the whole animal, but it wasn't totally be'isr because part of it was your shears. Or another case, that's regarding the selling. Then hasheichet v'nesnab l'biyadev. Someone slaughters the animal that he stole, but it became an avela through his hand, meaning he didn't really end up doing a proper shechita. Or hanoicher, or if someone tears from the nechirim, which is the nostrils of the animal, down to its heart. Or v'ama'akr, if someone just tears out the simanim of the animal, which is the windpipe and the food pipe. So in other words, these are all attempts at shechita, which is you're supposed to slaughter by the neck and tear open that part and slice the windpipe and the food pipe. But here, he didn't do it at all as a shechita. So, mesham tashlumi kefil. In all these cases, you'll pay kefil for the theft, but ve'ein mesham tashlumi abavachamish, you're not going to pay the 4 or 5 penalty. Now, even according to Rabbanan, who we had quoted previously, they don't require like Reb Shimon shechita ru'uya, but here they would agree because it's not a shechita at all. You didn't slaughter. Slaughtering that is ain aruya is that if you did a real slaughtering, then it turns out that it's a trefa, so it had a moral defect. So it's not going to be kosher to eat, but you did a shechita. Here you didn't do a shechita. You just like butchered it, or you just ripped out the signs. That's not a shechita, and therefore even the Rabban would agree that does not qualify for or tvachai, and therefore in these two cases, it's either not mochare or tvachai, and therefore you're not going to be chayef dal behe. Now the Gemara explains the halacha that the Mishnah opened up with, what does this mean when we said that you're going to be exempt for umacharei because you didn't sell all of it, because you said I'm selling it everything besides 1/100th of the animal? So the Gemara's question is, from what did we say that if he's not selling that 1/100th of it, that would be considered what's called a shear, that it's being left over and you're not qualifying as selling the whole animal? What is considered part of the animal that would hold back it being considered as if all of it was sold in sin? So Amar Rav, he says, chutz midavar hanitur imay b'shchita. It's excluding, meaning if to exclude something that was being permitted with the slaughtering. So for example, let's say from its flesh. If he said, I'm selling everything of the animal besides 1/100th of its flesh, so then that's something which that becomes permitted with the slaughtering. That if he's holding on to that, then he didn't totally sell the animal. But if let's say he sold everything besides the skin or the horns or the wool, then that's not shear, because that's not something that becomes permitted with the slaughtering. That the horn is not something that has to become kosher when you slaughter it. That wouldn't be considered. If he holds on to those things, that would still be considered as if you sold the whole entire animal, and you would be liable for dal v'hei. But Levi Amar, he says, no, even if chutz migizay seha, even if, let's say, he sold everything besides the shearings of the wool, that would still be considered that he held on to part of the animal, and you wouldn't be in violation of a mechari to be chayv dal v'hei. So to learn the brisa like Levi, which said chutz migizay seha, even if he says besides the wool, the shearings, that would be considered a shear, and it's not a total mechira to be chayv dal v'hei. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei, we learned from the following brisa, which can be difficult on Rav. The brisa says a few different opinions. Mechara chutz miyadav. Let's say someone sold the animal that he stole, except for the hands of the animal, or chutz miragl, except for its feet, or chutz mikarn, except for its horns, or chutz migizay, except for the wool shearings. You don't pay for dal v'hei because you didn't sell the whole entire animal. Rabbi Yemi says no. He says dava hamaakiv b'shchita, something that will withhold the validity of slaughtering. In other words, something that if, let's say, it had been ripped off from the animal when it was still alive, would have made it an avela. So, for example, let's say the food pipe or the windpipe or the thigh or its internal cavities or the liver or one of the intestines, where if that would have been ripped out when it's alive, then slaughtering would not permit it. It wouldn't make it kosher because it's already a non-kosher animal. So then, if that's what you're holding on to, so then you're not going to pay dal v'hei. But something that would not withhold the validity, even if it was taken off, let's say, when it's still alive, for example, its hand or its feet, meaning from the knee and lower, which that does not make the animal into a trefa, if you're still holding on to those things, even so, misham tashlum abba v'chamisha, you're going to pay four or five times the amount. And the Gemara later on will explain the reasoning of all these different opinions, but that's how Rebbe qualifies it. So even if you're holding on to, let's say, the hand or the feet, that would not consider that as if you didn't sell the whole thing, because it's not ma'akib shchita. If that was cut off from before it was slaughtered, it would be a kosher shchita, and therefore you're going to pay dal v'hei. Third opinion, Reb Shimon Lazaim, he says, chutz mikarnof, let's say he says, except for the horns, I'm selling you everything from the animal, except for the horns, ein misham tashlum abba v'chamisha, then you're not going to pay for four or five times the amount. That's considered you didn't sell the whole thing. Chutz migizay seha, but if he said except for the shearings, except for the wool, then misham tashlum abba v'chamisha, then it would be considered as if you sold the whole animal, and you would be liable for dal v'hei. So the Gemara says, bishlim l'levi ketana kama. Levi, we very well understand that he has a tanoik source. The Tana Kama says exactly like him, which no matter what you hold on to, it's considered you didn't sell the whole thing, even if it's by gizay seha. But el rav, come on. But who's Rav going like? Because if it'd be like the Tana Kama says even chutz migizay seha is considered shear, not like Rav. And if it would be like Rebbe, then even the hand itself Rebbe held would not be is not ma'akad shechita, and therefore you would be chav dal v'hei, which is not like Rav. Because Rav said anything that becomes permitted with the shechita, which includes eating the flesh of the hand, that is something that if you held on to, that you would not be dal v'hei, yet Rebbe said that you would be dal v'hei on that. So who is Rav going like? Somebody said, Rav d'amar ki haitana d'tanya. Rav's going like the following tanya that we learned in a different brisa. Reb Shimon Lazaimer, a fourth opinion, which is like Rav. Mechara chutz miyada, if the ganav sold the animal except for its hand, or v'chutz miragli except for its foot, ein misham tashlum abba v'chamisha, you don't pay four or five times the amount, again, as we'll see, like Rav, because it's something that becomes permitted with slaughtering. But chutz mikarna, but let's say he said except for its horn, or chutz migizay seha, except for the wool shearings, then misham tashlum abba v'chamisha, then you do pay four or five times the amount, again, exactly like Rav, because that's not something that becomes permitted with shechita. You could have anav from the horns or from the wool even before shechita. And again, that's why that's the defining characteristic, again, like Rav. So the Gemara says, but Ma'akim Efekim, what are these four Tanoic opinions disputing? What is the point that they're disagreeing about? So the Gemara says, Tanakama Sava, Tanakama held, it says, Utvachai, that you slaughter it, which is Kula Be'inin. You need to have that the whole slaughtering is done in sin, and so to Mukhari, Kula Be'inin. You need to have that when you sold it, you sold the whole thing. You sold it, which is everything of it. And therefore, if you hold on to anything, even Gizay Seha, or Karna, whatever it is, then you're not going to be Chayv, Dal V'hei, which was like Levi. The Rebbe said, the second opinion Rebbe held, Utvachai, when it says, and you slaughter it, is midi to have betvich, is something that is a requisite for it being considered a kosher slaughtering. Now, that's lafuki midi to have betvich, that comes to exclude something which is not necessary for it to be considered a kosher slaughtering, which again excludes the hand or the feet, that's not necessary. If you cut that off before the animal is slaughtered, that's not going to become a trefa, because it's from points where it could still survive, and therefore, let's say hand and feet, would be things that would still be chayv da'alvahe if you hold on to it. Now, moreover, u'mechare dumi d'tficha. Moreover, he says that whatever applies to slaughtering, the Torah compares it, says tfachu u'mechare, compares it to sale, therefore that would be considered a shear for mechira. And that's why he says that if you sell it, everything besides the wool, or even besides the hands or the feet, which are not things that are ma'akeh by tvicha, so they're not ma'akeh by mechira, and it's considered that you sold the whole thing, even though he held onto those things. The third opinion, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, he doesn't expound the comparison of mechira to tvicha, but however, Saba he held, karna deloy lamagze kaima, the horn, which doesn't stand to be cut off. The horns are usually remain on the animal. So have a shear. If you're holding on to that, it's really that you didn't sell the whole animal. So it's not a full mechira, and therefore you wouldn't be chayv dal vehei. And therefore, ve'in mesham teshulma v'chamish, you're not going to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. Whereas gizei seho delamege is kaimi, but the wool shearings, which are, that's what is generally done. That's how we get our clothing. We shear the animal's wool. La have a shear. So if you're holding on to that, that's not considered holding on to the animal, because it's oimidly guzzies. It's there to be cut off. It's not part of the animal that you're not letting go of. And therefore, Masham Tashlum Abachamisha, and therefore you would pay 4 or 5 times the amount, because it would be considered a full-fledged mechira. Now the fourth opinion, the Idach Tanaberi Bishim in the Lazar Savar, which was like Rav, he held that different than Rebbe, not like Rebbe who says that what's ma'akev shchita. Whatever needs slaughtering to permit it, which includes the hands and the feet, you can't eat that part of the animal before slaughtering, so that's have a shear. That would be considered holding on to the animal, because that's contingent of the whole animal, of what slaughtering permits it. But loy masham teshlum b'vachamish, and you're not going to pay 4 or 5 times the amount if you're still holding on to that part. Whereas karneho begiz esel, but regarding its horns and its wool shearings, which doesn't need slaughtering to permit it, because you don't eat that, and whatever it is that its utility has is permitted even without slaughtering, lahavashir, that's not considered holding on to the animal, and that's why that's his criterion, again, which was like the opinion of Rav. Number one thing the Gemara asks is that Kasha Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Last two opinions we quoted were both Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and they're different opinions. One was the third opinion of the previous Braisa, and one was this other opinion, this other Braisa, which we said is like Rav. So the Gemara says, you're right, Terei Tanoim, believe Reb Shimon ben Elazar, there's two different Tanoim who have two different interpretations and versions of what Reb Shimon ben Elazar said, and that's why they're different opinions. The Gemara continues on a related discussion. Tan Rabban Lunda Braisa. Hagoinev Hakitas. If someone steals an animal that had its arms amputated, or Vesa Chigeris, or a lame animal, or Vesa Sumo, or a blind animal. So now the significance of these cases are that although these animals are not all there, still we're going to say that there's going to be a liability for this halacha of Tal Vehei, because whatever the ganav stole, he went and they sold it. So that's going to be a total umachare, although it's not a total animal that's being sold, but it's whatever he stole, he sold. So too, if someone steals the animal owned by partners, chayiv is going to be liable. Now, however, partners who steal, they're going to be exempt. Now, it's on this last halacha that the Gemara asked, but Batanu in the Braisa Shutvan Shagun V'chayoven, that partners that steal are liable. So if partners steal, are they chayiv or not? So Rav Nachman says, look, kash, it's not a difficulty. Kan b'shutiv shagun v'chaveri. One case is Toma where one partner steals from his other partner. That's where we're saying that he's going to be exempt from the liability of Dal Vehei, even from his friend's part, which was not his, which he did steal, because you don't have the qualification of a tuvachai kula bi'isur. You don't have a total slaughtering or mechira of total isur, because it's not all of it that was done in sin, because half of it was owned by him. Kan b'shutav shagunav mi'alma, the case that the braisa that said that you're going to be chayiv with partners who steal are partners who steal from someone else. So then these partners in sin, their halacha is that they're going to be chayiv in tvich mechira, because that was totally done in sin. Now, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Eis ve'Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, we learned in the Braisa, Yachol shutav shagunav mechaveri, you would think that if a partner steals from his partner, or v'shutvin shagunav, or if partners steal, you would think yuchayim that they would be liable, tamalim utfachet. So that's what the pasuk teaches, and they slaughters it, which is kulei bi'inan, that you have to slaughter all of it in sin. V'lekan, you don't have that. Now, so seemingly you see from the Braisa, and not like the way of Nachman just answered, that even when partners steal from someone else, not one from the other, that's not totally in sin, because each one is stealing half. So neither one is doing a total selling or slaughtering in sin. So you see, not like the answer that you gave to resolve the two Braises that we see even Shutma Shagam and Me'alma are going to be exempt. So El Amar of Nachman, rather of Nachman says, you're right. Loikasha, there's a different answer. Kan b'shutav shetavach ledas chaveri. One of them is talking about where the partner slaughtered it with the intention and with the acquiescence of his partner in crime. Where there, they're going to have to pay together. The reason being is because there you will have utvachai, that all of it was done slaughtering in sin. The reason being is because the one who's slaughtering is liable for his part, and his friend additionally made him a shliach to slaughter it. Now, although generally we say ein shliach d'va'aveira, but that we taught on daf ayin alef and aleph, that there is a shliach d'va'aveira in the halacha b'tvachim achira, because we say tachas is l'rabbis as a shliach. So therefore, there you are doing utvachai, because both of them are doing this full-fledged to slaughter, to that what they stole from someone else, to go ahead and slaughter in sin. But kan b'shutav shadavach shaloi ledas chaver. The case where we said that the partners that steal, that then they're going to be exempt on the tvicha mechira, that's tomorrow where one of the partners slaughtered without the agreement and the acknowledgement of his colleague. Where there you don't have a tvachai kula b'chayuva. The reason being is because the half of his friends, his friends share in this theft, he's not a shliach for him. So essentially it's like, even if he was slaughtering his friend's part which was stolen, so it's like the halacha of tevechu meicher achar agana, which we said in previous stuff, that you're going to be potter. If you slaughter or sell something that someone else stole, you're exempt. And that's on his friend's part. His own part that he stole and now he's selling, he's also going to be exempt. And the reason being is, as we said, because that's not going to be utvachai kula b'chayuva, because you're not selling, you're not slaughtering all of the animal in sin, because it's only your part, and your part is only half the animal. Now, Rashi addresses that, although, however, we had said previously on Daf Ayin Alef Amud Beis that the halacha is chamishik bakar v'afil chamishik hatzoi bakar, seemingly that we said that the liability of Dal V'hei is even on half an animal, not all animals, so why are we saying that it's a problem because it's not utvachai kulai? And that Rashi says very fundamentally, that's where you steal an animal of partners, and we said, and you slaughter it, and then you quickly go ahead and you admit your guilt to one of them on his part. Where, at least at the time when you slaughtered, it was a tvacha, you did a total slaughtering. And this is how the Gemara actually in Perek HaGezel later on, Daf Kavav and Beis explains, that a shutif that slaughters without das chaveray, he's going to be patur again for this idea where you didn't do a total tvacha. You didn't do a tvacha beisura. There where the Gemara says, it's even chamishe chatzai bakar, is when you sin, you did totally in sin. There's two partners, you stole it and you slaughtered it. That, so you slaughtered the whole thing in sin. But then you went and you admitted to one of them. So we say, Moed B'knas is Pater. Now by the other one you get caught, now that's only on half the Bakr, that you'll be Chayv, because you did a total Utvachim Machare. Now, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi had the following question, continuing on this theme. Machra Chutz Mishleishim Yayim. Let's say he sells the animal, except for 30 days. He says, I'll sell it to you, but for the first 30 days, I want to do my work with it. Or let's say he says, Chutz Mimalachta, I'm selling you the animal that I stole, except for its work. In other words, if you want to slaughter it, you can go ahead and slaughter it. But if you're going to want to do work with it, the work is going to be mine. So the question is that considered a shear? Is that considered leaving over? That's not a total umachare, that it's not a total selling to be liable for dal dehe. Or let's say Chutz Mi'ubra, let's say he says, except for its fetus. So it's pregnant, selling the whole animal, but except for the embryo. Maha, what's that locha? So Gemara explains regarding this last question, according to the opinion, which is a machlekes maseches Tmura and Daf Lamed and Lamed Aleph, that the fetus is considered part of the mother. It's like a thigh of the mother. It's an extension of the mother. It's part of the mother. So according to that opinion, he definitely wouldn't have a question at all, because for sure you left over part of the animal, because it's considered like a foot, like a part of the animal itself. So therefore, that wouldn't be considered mechare. The whole question would begin only according to the pin that says that the fetus is not considered as a thigh, as part of the animal itself, rather just something that it's carrying. Then the question would be, my, what would the halacha be in that case? So as Zimmer explains the question, Meima Amrina, do we say keeping the mechur b'habashir, since it's connected and it's attached to the mother, therefore it is considered holding on to something of the animal, you're not selling the whole animal, and therefore you would not be chayim dal v'hei. Or maybe you would say, since it's ultimately going to be disconnected from the mother, so I have a shear. It's not holding on to something of the mother. It just happens to be connected right now, but it's not a shear in the mother. Ikadami, those say a different version of this question, and that is, kibin de lav yerech imayhu, since it's not a thigh of the mother, so I have a shear. So it's not considered leaving over any of the animal, and you would be chayv dal v'hei. Or Dilmor, maybe kibin de tzarech lishtarui b'hado b'shchita, since the fetus would be necessary to be permitted if it's in the state that it's in right now. The only way it's permitted is when you slaughter its mother. So command the shai begufa dami. So it's as if you did leave over part of the animal itself, because as we see, when you slaughter the mother, that then permits the fetus. It's only with the mother slaughtering. So you see that it's as if it's part of the mother, because you don't slaughter the whole animal, you slaughter the neck, but that permits the whole animal. So you see that the slaughtering of the mother permits the child. So essentially you see that it's like part of the mother, and therefore maybe it would be considered a shir. That thing says, take it, let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be in these cases, if these would be considered a shir and hence not a mukhari to be chayav dal vehei or not. So too, Boira Papra. Papa had the following question. Let's say Gnava. Let's say the thief steals an animal. Ketah, he then amputates it. He cuts off its hands. Umachar, and then he sells the animal. Ma, what's halacha? As the Gemara explains. Mi amrin, and do we say, my degon of what he stole, halezavin, he didn't sell. Because it's not in the same form. He amputated it before he sold it. And therefore, since it's not the same thing, so it's not total umachar. Or maybe, no. Ma dezavin, halezavin. Whatever he did sell, he didn't hold on to anything of it, meaning he sold the entire animal as it is right now, so it is a total mukhari. He's not holding on to it at all. So what would the halacha be? Would that be considered a shir or not? I think Mar says, take it, let it stand. It's not clear if there would be a total mukhari to be chav dal vehei or not.